This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 on the evening edition with Lynn and Hezrel.
Yeah, so one of us is at home and one of us is actually in the studio.
That's
in
right.
This brave new world of team rotations. We're trying out a new setup. Okay, so for our first story today, actually, we wanted to ask, does this sound familiar? So an unknown number calls and on the other end is an official sounding voice telling you, you have an outstanding loan or you're in trouble for something. And what you need to do right now, is transfer money to a bank account.
Yeah, I've definitely received those calls and I have friends and family members who've complained about it as well. Yeah, and the main difference here, Lynn, is at what point do you start to get suspicious? Because this is how a lot of scams begin.
Yeah, so I think some people get suspicious from the minute there's an unknown number, right? And then you just don't pick up. But other people go along. And I think a lot of it is based on how urgent the other side makes it sound. Sometimes or often what they say is you have to transfer money now or risk arrest or legal action. Or if they're selling you a product and it's a great deal, then the offer is only valid if you buy it right now. And I think this is how we hear stories of people losing millions. There was recently a case involving a manager of a banking agency, for instance, who lost nearly 2 million ringgit, which is a huge amount.
Yeah, I read about that. And it really is a widespread problem. According to Bukit Aman, thousands a year lose a total average of 2 billion ringgit to all sorts of scams. And whether they're Macau scams, e-commerce fraud, love scams, you name them. But these techniques are just the tip of the iceberg because studies show that scammers are getting more creative.
Yeah, so there was this article on the Malaysian Insight where Dr. Gashina Ayu, who is a criminologist and psychologist at USM, actually pointed out that there are at least four ways to execute just one type of scam. But there's a couple of things they all have in common. And I think we touched on that, right? They sound credible because they have this official voice and they trigger emotional responses from their victims. So Dr. Gashina also said that public apathy towards familiarizing themselves with the techniques is also a factor in falling for it.
Yeah, so I've received many of these calls, and each time I get them, they're from a different number, Lynn. And I've tried calling them back, and usually they don't go through. And I think this really shows, to what extent does our government, what kind of resources do they have to actually track these kinds of calls that are incoming, and that's just phones alone, right? What about emails? And I think as more and more people get more advanced with these techniques, I just wonder what is it going to take to monitor and actually impose a penalty on these kinds of scammers.
Gosh, and that's before we even start talking about WhatsApp, because we're assuming that people still pick up their calls. And the thing is, a lot of people don't. Like, I certainly don't pick up phone calls from numbers that I don't know. But I think that I might be more susceptible to receiving a message or things like that. And I do think that it's a very primal thing. We're talking about technological scams, but they really thrive on a very primal emotional thing, which is you don't want to get in trouble, or you're greedy in some instances. You want to get the best deal possible. You think that, there's something in it for you. But more often than not, I think they do depend on people's, just worry, anxiety, sometimes loneliness. And I hear you on the governmental front, but I also wonder whether, I don't know how to keep people up to date on these things when they keep changing,
right?
But the basis of why they frighten you remains the same.
Yeah, and to that, Lynn, I've read a lot online that apparently in countries like the US, for example, elderly people are more vulnerable and prone to this. And actually, my grandmother had a few of these calls over the past week, and we had to remind her that it's not normal that someone asks you for your IC number or your account number and where you live. So I wonder if it is the same here, or if it cuts across different age groups, because like you said, they really are getting more advanced, aren't they?
Yeah, and And not everybody, I think, will have younger family members or younger friends or any family members. It doesn't have to be younger. I don't think it's an age thing. But, you know, you need to be able, I think, to talk it out with people or to say, hey, I received a weird call. Have you received a weird call? And having those conversations are important. But if you're a relatively isolated person, then I think that adds another layer of vulnerability to the situation. So we're going to be talking, I think, about all these different things, just the ways in which scammers seem to be becoming, I hate to say it, but better. And so how we need to keep up with that. And after this, we're going to be speaking with Shankar Durai Raja, who's a lecturer at the School of Investigation and Enforcement at College Unicop. If you would like to share, though, I mean, have you received these phone calls? What do you do when you get them? Do you know friends or family members who have heard these things? Share your thoughts and experiences. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. We're starting today off by talking about something that we often talk about and sadly, there appears to be no resolution as yet, and that is the astonishing number of scams that happen on a daily basis, whether it's Macau scams, love scams. As we mentioned earlier, it's an insane amount of money. Thousands a year lose a total average of 2 billion ringgit to these scams. So we wanted to discuss techniques, perhaps for coping with it, and also what else could be done by authorities. If you have any thoughts or experiences that you want to share, again, those numbers, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we're crossing over on the line to Shankar Durai Raja, lecturer at the School of Investigation and Enforcement at College Unicop. Shankar, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier the prevalence of these scams. Why do they continue to be so common?
Okay, when we talk about something common, the first one is we can list out a lack of awareness. Okay, but when we see the strategies taken by our law enforcement agencies, every year the awareness campaigns that we're doing is like very high. But our people, you know, our public, actually they're not aware of the current strategies. Okay, so that's why the current our enforcement agency like PDRN, they started to like share the strategies. Okay, last time they only shared the statistics. Now they're sharing the techniques used by the syndicate. Okay, how they commit the Macau scam and so on. So that can be the first one, the lack of awareness. The second one is when we see the victim's profile of this Macau scam. So even we don't have the exact statistics on the victims. You know, the which people, which group of people are becoming victims for this crime. So we can see we see the newspapers and so on. So the highest number will be the elderly and retired and so on. Right. So this group of people are not very techie, and they cannot like reach the information as soon as possible they want. They always like share information from their relatives and so on, right? So this can be the two reasons, you know, one lack of awareness, and the second one is the victims itself, like they really are not exposed to all these things, you know, the strategies carrying out by the law enforcement agencies and so on.
Right, and could you perhaps elaborate on some of those strategies? You know, what are the most common types of scams here in Malaysia, and what do they entail?
Okay, in Malaysia, like when we see the current trends, okay, we call it as a scam is classified as a commercial crime in Malaysia. So when we see the current trends of commercial crime in Malaysia, there are almost like 23 types of commercial crimes in Malaysia. So the familiar one will be Macau scam, internet romance scam, okay, and phone scam, okay, and love scam. So love scam was very high. The statistics was very high for past like 2 or 3 years back. Now when we see the statistics, Macau scam is getting a largest portion in the statistics. So the common one will be now current. If we see the statistic, Macau scam will take the number one place.
And so those are the types of scams, but what are the common techniques, I suppose, you know, whether it's in terms of how people get persuaded, or for that matter, whether it's still happening through phone, through email, through WhatsApp?
Okay, current techniques, okay, mostly there will be like three, you know, they will approach in the terms of lucky draw. Another, the second one is a famous one, authority spoofing. Okay, the syndicate will act like they are law enforcement officers, you know, that kind of thing. The third one will be they will like act like an abductor, you know, we call it the penchule and so on. So this will be the three common techniques, okay, when we talk about Macau scan, this will be the three common techniques.
Right, and you've touched on how there still seems to be a good number of people who aren't really familiar with those techniques used, right? How can people better identify whether they're being scammed?
Okay, the first one is when an individual receives a call from someone like unknown party. Okay, they must verify the details first. Okay, we must understand the syndicates. Okay, usually they have all the details about the victims. Okay, they will collect the details first. Okay, if they wanted to call a person A, so they will get all the details about person A. They will have the details, occupation, when, where he or she is living, okay, his current, he or she's current address, and so on. So whenever we get a call, we must verify the details. So we must counterattack the caller. So if we are approaching you, like you already like, so you're telling the individual A that you have a someone and so on. So we must ask the individual again, what type of someone, where, when, and so on. So when you ask these type of questions, you know, continuously asking or digging the information, so the caller itself will be, so we can identify the call is real or not. So if a real law enforcement officer called you, okay, they will give all kind of information. They will have a complete information of the case. So these scam people, they only have very limited information, you know. So when you try to ask more and more, sure, the caller will like cut off the call, or you will try to bring up another story and so on. So that's the thing that we must do. The only thing that we can do is verify the details. Okay. So after you get the call, okay, you can go to the police station. Okay, you go to any law enforcement agencies. You can clarify with them whether you receive a call from the police department and all, and so on.
So before we continue this conversation, I did want to know, you mentioned that when these scammers call, it's very likely that they're prepared, right? They have all your details, they know everything. Where are they getting these sorts of information from? I mean, it's one thing to obtain your phone number, but everything else?
Yeah, it's a kind of leakage, data leakage. Okay, as an example, when we go to a supermarket, okay, there will be a lucky draw, you know, we write our phone number, we write our occupation, when we are leaving, so on. So the information can be leaked from there. Okay, that people, I'm not telling that it's happening in Malaysia, like some other countries are actually happening. So these people actually sell the details to third party. So this third party will leak the details to the syndicate. So it's like that. It's a chain, actually. But we cannot confirm in Malaysia, but in other countries, when we read the research papers and so on, the investigation thing, so this thing happens, actually. So data leaked from the telecommunication industry, insurance industry, and these malls, you know, because our public, they love to give their details, you know, without thinking and so on. They love to give their details. Okay, when you're filling up the lucky draw, you must understand. So you cannot give your IC number, your phone number. Even with your phone number, we can actually get your address and so on. So that's where the syndicates get the details, actually.
Right, and to follow up on that, perhaps what are some ways that people could, help to better protect themselves against some of these, you know, data leakages, and to make sure they don't fall into the wrong hands?
Okay, some of the precautions will be like whenever you want to give details, okay, you must make sure the party or the organization is a legal one, you know. So we need to prevent ourselves from giving details from a third party, like example that I mentioned just now, like key draw at malls and so on. Right? So we need to prevent that, actually. So we must, first one, second one, we must go through all the awareness and so on. Because usually our generation, you know, currently the people, we are familiar with social media and so on. But we always see other people's story. Okay, at least once a day, at least we need to go to PDRM. We must visit the PDRM FB page and so on to get the current details about the scam and so on. So every day we must update. We need to keep on updating ourselves because the techniques are changing, and the syndicates are keep on changing their techniques, their modus operandi, and so on. So only one thing that we can do is we must educate ourselves with the current knowledge on these scams and so on. So it's very hard because everyone's busy and so on. But at least once a day or. Maybe twice a day, we need to go to certain website or certain Facebook pages to get the details, current details about these scams. Okay.
And I think just on that note about protecting ourselves, and to your point earlier about okay, if someone calls you, ask questions, right? Like make sure that you check. But I think. Abductions, penculik, like you said earlier, it can be really, really frightening. So if you do receive that kind of call, how do you suggest people respond?
Okay, the only thing that the individual can do is we must approach or we must go and share this to PDRM. Okay, they're the only one can help the people. Okay, even the abductor can tell anything, you know, if you tell to this, to the police, we will kill your husband and so on. But we must go to the police, okay? That's the only thing that we can do, okay? Because we must verify the information, whether it's a scam or real. Even if it's a scam or real, PDRM will help us to solve this, okay? So we must make sure whenever you get calls or any calls, abduction calls or Macau scam, low scam, and any kind of calls, we must approach PDRM first, okay? They will be our savior for this issue.
Right, and speaking of the police, how much success have they had so far when it comes to identifying and capturing the perpetrators behind these scams?
Okay, when we talk about the perpetrators, when we talk about this, if you focus on Macau scam itself, you know, PDRM only managed to, they, you know, so to get the mastermind is very hard, actually. So usually we... frequently arrested individuals will be the runners. We call it as a runners. You know, the individuals who like carried out the Macau. They are not the mastermind. You know, they will be the concho. You know, these people only will be the arrested. Like the one who sells the account details. You know, the one who like take the money from the bank and so on. So the masterminds is very hard to capture because these people can be operating from other countries. So it's very hard to track them. So if you want to track the individual directly involved with Macau scam, we need to directly relate with the account, okay? But the current situation is, okay, we cannot get the details of the individual holds the details, all the money, because the money will be missing. Like one account will be, the money will be transferred from one account, will be another account, then another account, then the foreign account. So the we cannot track back the trail, you know, the account details. So because the masterminds only can be captured if we have the account details. Okay, for now, we cannot like track back the money. So if we fail that, we also cannot capture the mastermind. Previously, yes, PDRM Pulau Pinang and PDRM Johor, they managed to capture the masterminds, but it's like a very rare case. Okay?
So in closing then, we've been hearing people losing, you know, such large amounts of money. It's in the millions. Are victims generally able to recover stolen money or assets?
Actually, it's very hard to answer. Mostly no, actually. Because we cannot track back the money. No, the money that they lost, you know, we have the details, but they cannot, like, physically cannot track back the money. So, very rare case. Because one commercial crime, the Macau scam case, it will go on until 4 to 5 years, 7 years, you know, because police department only can close the case after they capture the mastermind. If they cannot capture the mastermind, the case will be, like, open, you know. So, if you want to settle the money, actually, they need to literally close the case. Because for now, if they cannot capture the mastermind, the case will be open. So you cannot track back the money. So you cannot get back the money. So if you cannot get back the money, you cannot return back the money to the owners and so on. So it's very hard to recover the stolen money and assets.
Shankar, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was Shankar Durairaja, lecturer at the School of Investigation and Enforcement at College Unicop, speaking to us about the continuing prevalence of Macau scams. And as mentioned, if you've received these weird phone calls, WhatsApps, and you know, you just want to share what you do about them or how you talk to the people in your life about these situations, call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Right, and it looks like we do have a message, Lynn, from Lok Kok Yuan, who says, I get calls from the UK, Singapore, AU, I assume Australia regularly. I never pick up.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good tip, especially if you don't have family there. I think if you have family there, you're like, oh no. But without, it's just like, I don't think you need to bother. But yeah, keep those messages coming. We'll be continuing this conversation after the 5:30 news. We're talking today about scams, whether it's Macau scams, love scams. Have you heard of them? Share your best tips and tricks. In the meantime, we are headed to the news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.